You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Tonight, I'm going to bring you a message entitled The Inevitable Disappointments of Ministry. That sounds kind of negative, and I'm not a negative guy. It's going to get positive at the end, I think. But it's hopefully something that will be a help to all of us. You see, the Christian life, service to God, it's the most wonderful life in the world. It's a life full of great joys and great blessings, and we praise God and thanksgiving. But the reality is, there's no way around it. You look at the life of Christ, you look at the life of anybody in Scripture that followed him closely and tried to give their lives to them, or you try to live a lifetime, there are going to be some inevitable disappointments in your life. Ministry just means service. I don't mean by ministry those that get paid, vocational ministry. Ministry is just service to our Lord. And if you give your life to try to make an impact with the gospel, to try to serve other people, you will face some inevitable disappointments. Tonight's message, again, it's a little different than my normal style. I generally like to go to one passage, and I like to break down that passage and apply it to us. That would be often the style that would be called as expositional preaching. That's what I tend toward the vast majority of my preaching. I like that type of preaching. I think it's best for me. It's most healthy. It keeps me accountable to a text. I don't just get to pick a verse and make it say what I want it to say. So that's tonight we're going to turn to a bunch of places. This wasn't meant necessarily to be a message in church, and so you're going to need to follow along. I'm going to ask you to turn to multiple places in the life of the Apostle Paul. But it's interesting. In the New Testament, what is the Christian life likened to? It's likened to a few things, but one of the things that it's likened to, the Bible says, endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's a soldier? A soldier is a life of great discipline. A soldier is a life of great danger. There's the possibility of getting hurt, even killed. You're constantly working with one another. You've got your fellow soldiers back, and you're working together. And the Bible, the New Testament, likens the Christian life to the life of a soldier. It literally says, endure hardness. What does it say? Inevitable disappointments in serving God. There's Shannon back there. So our staff does come to church. Good to see you, Shannon. There is going to be hardness in the Christian life. It's inevitable. Not only does it liken it to a soldier, in another spot, it likens it to that of being a farmer. It calls it a husbandman. A farmer. I don't know a whole lot about farming, but what is farming? It's a life of extremely hard work that takes a long time to see fruit. And that's the Christian life sometimes, isn't it? You plant and you plant and you plant, and it seems like all you see is a weed pop up and another weed, and then there's some animal that comes in and eats the little food, the little plant that grew up, and you're constantly on guard against these things trying to destroy that which you're planting. And it can feel that way in my own life, and it can feel that way with family and with a ministry. If you're a Sunday school teacher, or if you work with children or whatever it might be, I'm trying to pour into them, and then it seems like there's weeds that pop up and there's these things that come in and destroy the crops. Another place the Bible likens the Christian life to that of a boxer. It says, not as one that beateth the air. What's the life of a boxer? It's a life, again, of discipline. It's painful. There are times as a boxer, I doubt there's ever been a boxer that has truly sought to have any kind of, done it for any length of time that did not get knocked down and at some point get knocked out. And I could give you other illustrations, but the New Testament tells us, your Christian life, now, maybe not if your Christian life consists of 1 hour a week on Sunday morning. You come, you hear some music, you lift your hand up, you put a few dollars in the plate, you listen to some helpful self-help speech and go home and live your life. You may not face these inevitable disappointments, but if you seek to follow Christ, you are going to have to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. That husbandman that plants and plants and plants and then waits and hopes that the crops come up, and it's a lot of work. That boxer that gets knocked down and then sometimes knocked out. The Christian life has seasons of disappointment, of pain, of waiting, of discouragement, of disillusionment. Thankfully, we have an example to give us a path to follow. Of course, Christ, but even a human example that we're going to look at tonight and get encouragement in the midst of these things. We're going to look tonight at the life of the man who wrote more books of the Bible than any other, the life of the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to give us just a few thoughts. We're going to turn to a few passages, apply them, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. If you are going to stay faithful in the Christian life, you need to understand where the disappointments come from, see the example of how Paul dealt with them, and then at the end, we're going to wrap it all up, and I'm going to give you thoughts. What's the answer then to staying faithful in the midst of these heartaches and heartbreaks? Number one, where did Paul's disappointments in ministry come from? If you have your Bible, let's turn to Acts in chapter number 20. Acts in chapter number 20, we're going to turn to several places tonight. I hope you'll follow along and see these things for yourself. Where did Paul's disappointments in ministry come from? Acts in chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 18. Acts 20, verse 18. The Bible says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears," you see that, there's some disappointments, "and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Everywhere Paul went, what happened? There were some people that tried to stand against him. He would go to preach and they would try to run him out of town. They would try to imprison him. And he says that these tears and temptations that befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He said in verse 20, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He said, I'm following God, doing what God's telling me to do. I don't know what's going to happen. Notice verse 23. Would you read verse 23 aloud with me? Acts 20, 23. Ready? Begin. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." You know what Paul said? The only thing I know is wherever I go, there's going to be some struggles. I don't know what God has for me, except when I get there, there's going to be difficulties. And where do the disappointments and the difficulties and the challenges of the Christian life come from? What are we going to have to be on guard for? The Bible says we shouldn't be ignorant of Satan's devices. We should understand how he's going to attack us. Number one, the inevitable disappointments of ministry, of the Christian life, number one, will come from critics. If you try to do something for God, you are going to face criticism. He said here, the lying in wait of the Jews. If you try, really, if you're a leader in any area, you're going to face criticism. If you're a business leader, guess what? There are going to be employees that criticize you. If you're a leader in the military, there are going to be those underneath that are grumbling about what you make them do. But one of the prices of leadership is that from time to time, you will face criticism. And he said, I don't know what's waiting for me in that city, except for the fact that bonds and afflictions abide me. Who's the one that's putting bonds and afflictions on him? Those that are against him, his opponents, critics, those that don't like what he's doing. Notice what he says in verse 24. Let's read that aloud, though. What was his response to those that try to hurt him? Let's read verse 24 aloud. Ready? Begin. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know what Paul said? I'm not going to let critics steal my joy. I'm not going to let those that don't like what I'm doing as I preach the gospel to steal my joy. He said, none of these things move me. They're not going to get me to quit. They're not going to get us to stop serving God. He said, neither count on my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. If you're going to finish your course with joy, it can't be constantly trying to answer this critic and get back at that person, revenge and vindication. And I've got, no, they can hurt me. I don't count my life dear to myself. I want to finish with joy and with the ministry. I want to finish doing what God has equipped me to do. I want to be faithful unto death, Paul said. I've not arrived there yet. I haven't made it there yet, but I want to die. And when I die, I still love God. And by the way, I'm not mad about it. I finish with joy. You notice as people get older that generally one of two things happens. They get really angry and cantankerous, or they become really sweet and joyful. You ever notice that? And Paul said, I want to be on this side. I want to finish with joy, but if I count my life dear to myself and it's, how could you do that to me? I'm going to get back at you. And I was just serving God and they treated me that way. What's going to happen is that root of bitterness is going to spring up. What did he say in Philippians? He said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? So here's what Paul says. There are some people, and he said, none of these things move me. I'm not going to let external circumstances that I can't control keep me from preaching the gospel and doing it with joy. And then he says in Philippians, he says, there are some people that preach the gospel, and their motivation is they think they're going to hurt me. They think they're going to add affliction to my bonds because they're not a part of me. And so they're going to show that they're not on my team. And they think by them doing that, and what was, he said, what then? And here's Paul's response. He said, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, whether they do it from a good heart or from a wrong one, what does he say? Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, I rejoice that God can use those who criticize and try to hurt me. God can use them for his glory, and I'm not going to spend my life fighting against them. Be careful. Social media lets us know a whole lot about what everybody else is doing. Well, they're trying to hurt me. Well, was that a subtweet against me? Well, are they talking about us? Are they talking about my family? Is that family member trying to throw a jab at me? Be careful. You'll lose your joy real quick. Watch out for letting critics steal your joy. What else did Paul say was an inevitable disappointment that you and I will face? Where else did he find disappointments and hurts in ministry? Not only from critics, but number two, from companions. Companions. What does he say? Demas hath what? Forsaken me. Those he had mentored walked away from him. That hurts. Those you've loved. Those you've invested in. Those you've prayed for. Those you've sought to help, those you've visited in the hospital, those that you've wept with, those that you spent time counseling, those that you sent a text message to, those that you dropped off some groceries to, those that you served the Lord with for weeks or months or years, and then they walk out. That hurts. Not only those he had mentored, but Paul was also hurt, companions, by those that had mentored him. He was disappointed. You remember what happened with him and Barnabas? Barnabas is the one that brought him into the church. And when he and Barnabas, they had a division. Now, they both kept serving the Lord, but I have to believe that was a disappointment. This man that brought me into the church, this man that vouched for me, this son of consolation, this one that said to the church, he's okay, and we were on the first missionary journey, and we worked together for so long, every day, so many hours, and we saw God do so many things, but they had a contention, and companions, those he had mentored walked away, and even those that had mentored him, he ended up walking away from. We see that Peter and Paul, they withstood each other to the face. You are not going to serve God for any length of time without having some that you've served with disappoint you. Some that you love and you have great memories of hurt you. And the question is, how are you going to respond? I love the fact that Barnabas kept preaching Christ and Paul kept preaching Christ. Even if they didn't feel they could do it together any longer, they weren't going. Their new ministry was not Paul starting the antibarnabas.com webpage and Barnabas starting the Facebook group of why Paul is wrong. They went their way and served God, and they went their way and served God, and God used both of them. But it's a reality. You're going at times. You're going to hurt people. You're going to have people hurt you. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to look at a few verses here in 2 Timothy. Paul writing to his son in the faith. He's learned some things in ministry, and he's writing to one that is a son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. What does he say in verse number 10? Follow along, please. It says, for Demas hath what, church? Forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. What a disappointment. That one that served with me isn't living for God at all. And has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatian. Would you read the first five words of verse number 11? The first five words, ready, begin. Only Luke is with me. I don't know for sure, and I don't want to impose my thoughts into Scripture, but when I read that, I hear a lonely servant of God. Only Luke is with me. I've only got one. Now, there were others that loved him. He's writing to Timothy. He knows Timothy loves him. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee. He is profitable for me for the ministry. There, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. He has a lot of good friends in ministry, but where he finds himself there, he says, only Luke is with me. I've been forsaken, and I believe we can sense some of that loneliness and disappointment with the way that he starts it by telling him, Demas has forsaken me. Notice what he says in verse number 14. Verse number 14, it says, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much what? Evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. How would you like that? That's the only time your name's in the Bible. This guy did wrong, and I hope God gets even with him. Verse 15, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men, what, church? Forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid. Do you see that? Everybody forsook me. No one stood with me. And yet we see in the heart of Paul here, it's not I'm going to get even with them. It's not I'm going to get back at them. What is the heart of Paul? I pray God doesn't lay it to their charge. I'm not going to let this derail me. None of these things move me. I have people that stand against me that criticize what I'm trying to do, and they preach the gospel, and they think by their preaching they're going to hurt me and add affliction to my bonds. I'm not getting caught up in those political wars, Paul said. I'm not getting caught up in all of that. I don't need to defend myself. If the gospel be preached, I can rejoice. And you know what? It might hurt that I have some critics, and I don't know where I'm going, except for the fact that when I get there, bonds and afflictions wait for me. I'm sure Paul was just like you and me. I'm sure he didn't like to hear that there was some guy across town preaching against him and his ministry, but he decided none of these things are going to move me because I'm going to finish my course with joy. And then he gets here and he says, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me, but you know what? I'm not going to get bitter against that. Verse number 17, notwithstanding, oh, I like this, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me, and by me the preaching might be fully known that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, when man hurts you, you know where you need to look. You need to look to the one who has never forsaken you. You need to look to the one who has delivered you every time. When you've been hurt by a pastor, you've been hurt by a friend, you've been hurt by a fellow Christian, you've been hurt by somebody that you mentor, you know where you need to look. He said, notwithstanding, nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. There's a way you stay faithful in the disappointments of the Christian life. You keep your eyes on Christ, not on the ways that people have hurt us. Number three. I have no idea what it is, so I got to get back to my notes. What did Paul struggle with? He was disappointed by his own carnality. Romans chapter number 7. Let's turn there, please. Romans 7. Romans 7. I love this passage because I feel it resonates with me. I feel this way so often. And it encourages me that the Apostle Paul had these same struggles. Romans chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what, church? I'm carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul. This is one of the most mightily used men in history. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, I have flesh and spirit, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, I want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What did Paul say, you know what I struggle with so much is myself. I want to serve God. I don't want to get angry at my family members. I don't want to lose my temper with my wife. I don't want to give in to that lust, and I don't want to have be dishonest in that way. And these things I don't want to do, but then I do well for a while, and then I see myself that the law of sin, all of a sudden sin begins to reign in my members, and these things that I don't want to do, I do. And what does he say? What does he say? Oh, wretched man that I am, I would say to you, what is the answer? Of course, walk in the Spirit. But one of the answers is we admit our weakness. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, I can't do this in my own. And we rest in his strength. God, I need you today. God, I need to walk in your Spirit today. If you're going to stay faithful to God and not have a major blow up in your life, if you will, from sin, not let sin destroy you. It's a daily struggle. The songwriter said, once again, I faced Satan this morning. And I what? Battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements, and at sundown, I sang victory song. That's a daily journey. A daily journey for us. His own carnality, number four, 2 Corinthians 11. You're listening well. 2 Corinthians 11. What disappointed Paul? 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. Second Corinthians 11, verse 23, again, there were those that they were priding themselves on how well they kept the law, how religious they were. And Paul has an answer here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. They were basically boasting of what great religious people they were. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says in parentheses, I speak as a fool. Here's what he means. I shouldn't be bragging on myself. This is what fools do to give their resume, to give what all that they've done. I shouldn't be doing this, but I have to so that you guys will understand the credibility of my message. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. I've done more than they've done. In stripes, above measure. I've suffered more than they've suffered. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Sometimes one of those beatings would kill a man. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. It kind of sounds like a Dr. Seuss. I ate green eggs and ham in all these places, and in the city, in the wilderness, and in all of these places, I have suffered way more than all of them. Notice what he says in verse number 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This is interesting. This passage is about to get real interesting. He just listed physical beatings, scourgings, shipwreck, starvation. He listed nakedness, cold, frostbite. Like, he listed all of these, and then I want you to see what he says. It's interesting. In the same passage, he says in verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me when, church? Daily, the care of all the what? Churches. What did Paul say? What brings me disappointment? Churches. What's the application there? His ministry work. Those he was trying to help brought him great burden. The ministries he had given his life to build burdened him daily. And again, I think sometimes we get the idea, if I give my life to serving God, everything's going to be great. And when the first time it's not great, we get disillusioned, we get thrown for a loop, and we say, well, maybe I wasn't supposed to serve God. Maybe I was in the wrong church, and maybe I married the wrong person, and maybe I was serving in the wrong way, and forget all of that. I'm going to give all of that up. But that's not the example we see of Paul. When the churches, those he invested in, hurt him, he didn't say the answer is, I'm not going to preach the gospel anymore. Number 5, Galatians 4. We're going to wrap it up here pretty quick. Galatians chapter number 4. I want you to see number 5. What were the inevitable disappointments of ministry in Paul's life? We've looked at critics and companions, his own carnality, churches. Number five, in Galatians 4, we see converts. Notice what it says in Galatians 4, verse number 11. Galatians 4, verse number 11. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, I ask you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel, a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. You received me. Verse 15, notice what he says. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And he says here in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What does he say? Those who I have literally led to Christ have broken my heart. You didn't despise my thorn in the flesh. Scholars tell us that that may have been an eye infirmity that Paul had, and some of that would make sense here if that were the case. They said it may have affected the way that he looked. He may have looked strange. It may have been always this kind of this, just man, it looks like he's in pain. And he said, you didn't despise any of that. In fact, if it would have been possible, there was a time when you would have plucked your eyes out for me. He said, wherein then is the blessedness that you spake of? What happened? Did I change? Am I a different pastor than I was when you loved me? Am I a different spiritual leader than I was when you loved me? He said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And then he says that last verse we read, I travail again until you be formed in Christ. He uses the picture of the pain and the hurt that a mother goes through in bringing life. He said, and by the way, if you've done that once for a child, you don't want to do it a second time for a child. If you're going to do it a second time, you want another child to show for it, right, ladies? I'm not going to go through that twice for the same one. He said, I have to go back all the way and do that. I have to endure pain and hurt and disappointment so that you can get back to spiritual maturity. Paul shows us here that converts, those that at one point loved us the most, those that we've given our lives to, those that might not even be saved, or humanly speaking, were it not for our ministry, can hurt us. And you might say, I've been hurt by those I've invested in, so I'm not going to invest any longer. That's not the answer. Paul said, Do I need to labor again? I'm willing to go through it all again for you. The ones that I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. The ones that you don't love and appreciate me like you used to, I'm not going to let that keep me from loving you and others moving forward. And then lastly, what was the last inevitable disappointment that we see in our lives and we see in Paul's life? Number six, personal cares. We just looked at it in this passage. What did Paul say? He said, I have a thorn in the flesh. I asked God to remove it three times. There were things in his own life physically that he struggled with, personal cares. There were times where he didn't have a coat, and there were times where he was naked, and there were these times he didn't have clothing, and he didn't have food. There were personal cares, and sometimes it's not the ministry burden. It's in your own life where there's a physical need. There's a health struggle. Today, one of the disappointments in Richard and Nancy Gabriel's life is he had to have surgery today, broke a bone. That's going to be a disappointment in their service for God. He's not going to be able to be at church next Sunday as he would have been. He was here last Sunday and the Wednesday night before that in church. He's not going to be able to do that. And that is a disappointment. If we're going to stay faithful, we're going to walk through some personal cares. There are going to be some things that come up in our families that burden us. There are going to be some things that come up in our marriage that burden us. There are going to be some things that come up with our kids that burden us. There are going to be some things that come up in our, we're going to lose a job and there are just some personal cares really have nothing to do with what I would call the spiritual side of ministry. They're just the regular part parts of life. And you see that happen to Paul, that thorn in the flesh. And our personal lives and our personal relationships can create struggles and disappointment. And so what's the answer? Turn back to the last place where we were a few points ago, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. What's the answer? I'll finish this quickly. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. So we've seen the disappointments. I don't want all of us to walk out of here victim mentality. Yeah, it really does stink to be a Christian. It doesn't stink to be a Christian. Man, serving God and helping people is the worst life in the world. Absolutely not. But we need to be realistic. To stay faithful to Christ, at times there's going to be some heartaches. And there's going to be some heartbreaks. And we saw Paul, we like Paul need to say, but none of these things move me. I'm not going to let these things get me off my course, that I might finish my course with joy, he said, and the ministry. I don't just want to finish my course with joy because I walked away from all that and I'm joyful because I have no more problems. No, and the ministry. I'm going to finish my course with joy doing what God called me to do. And I want you to see 2 Timothy chapter 4. All the other passages, most of the other passages we looked at, Paul hadn't completed his race yet. You go, and we didn't look at this passage, but he said, not as though I've already attained, neither apprehended, but I press toward the mark. There's a goal I'm shooting for. I haven't made it to the end, but I want to get there. In Acts in chapter 20, none of these things move me that I might finish my course of joy. That wasn't a guarantee. Paul hadn't made it to the end yet. He could have still gotten off track and walked away from the Lord. But now we come to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and the story of his life is pretty much told. Verse number 6, I love this passage. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I made it. I'm at the end. I'm about to die. I'm ready to go to heaven, and I'm still serving God faithfully and joyfully. I want you to see what he says. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And I like this. It's not just something Paul can win, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, those who are going to love his appearing are the ones that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, serving God with joy when he appears. You know when I love the appearing of a police officer? When somebody's breaking into my house. I love his appearing. And you know when I don't love the appearing of a police officer? Just about any other time. You see a police officer on the road, man, if I'm in a car accident and someone's hurting, I want the appearing of a police officer and first aid and fire and EMT. We love his appearing if we're living the way we should be when he appears. And he said, if you finish your course with joy, henceforth, because I've done that, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord will give me, but not to me only, to everybody that makes it there. And what's the answer? So we talked about the inevitable disappointments. What's the answer? It's right there in that passage, number one. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. You got knocked down? Get up and keep fighting. You got knocked out? Go to the corner for a minute, rest for a little bit, maybe seek some counsel, get into God's word, pray, cry, and get back in the fight. I have fought a good fight. Keep fighting. What's the answer? How do you make it through a lifetime of faithfulness? Keep fighting. Number two, keep running. What does he say? I have finished my course. Don't stop. Don't quit. You're running a marathon. You might need to slow down a little bit. There might be seasons where you jog. There might be seasons where you walk. There might be seasons where you just stand still and say, God, I've got no strength to take a step forward, but I'm not getting out of the race. I'm not going back home. I might not be real. Right now might be a season that I'm just kind of standing still. I might not be going too far forward, but I'm not going backwards, and I'm not getting out of the race. God, I'm going to keep running. God has a course for you, and God has a course for me. And along the way on that course, there are going to be some critics, and there are going to be some companions, and there are going to be some churches, and there are going to be some converts, and there's going to be some of our own carnality, and there's going to be some personal cares that are going to tempt us to get out of the race. But no, I'm not going to stop fighting, and I'm not going to stop running. Number three, stay faithful. I have kept the faith. Don't quit. Don't lose your joy. Well, I've been hurt. I could take you to a few other passages, but I think Paul's probably been hurt more than any of us in this room. Somebody did me wrong. A mentor hurt me. Somebody I poured my life into hurt me. Someone that I loved and invested in hurt me. I messed up in my own life. My sin has hurt me. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't walk away. And then number four, and we're done. What's the answer in the disappointments of life in Christianity? Keep your eyes on the eternal. What does he say? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Look beyond the temporal discouragements, the disappointments, the misunderstandings, those that might have lied about you and twisted your words and tried to hurt you and try to do whatever they could. And look beyond those things to the eternal reward. Keep your eyes on that eternal reward. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I press, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say? I haven't arrived and I've messed up and I've been through a lot. But you know what? I'm not going to let none of these things move me. I'm not going to let that get me off. I'm going to forget those things which are behind and I'm going to keep running and I'm going to keep fighting and I'm going to stay faithful and I'm not going to let that get me off track and I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we'll follow the example of Paul, we will get to our own 2 Timothy chapter 4 where we'll be able to say, we didn't run a perfect race, but I have fought the fight. We didn't fight a perfect fight. Oh, we might have gotten a black eye and we might have messed up and we might have gotten some points deducted because we didn't fight lawfully every time and we might have messed up here and there and we lost a couple rounds, but I fought a good fight. He didn't say I fought the best fight and I'm the only one. He said I fought a good fight and I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. I didn't get off track. I stayed on the track when my knees were bloodied, when I was dehydrated, when I was tired, when I was weak, when I cramped up, when I didn't think I could take another step. I didn't get out of the race. I kept running and I kept the faith. And henceforth, I kept my eyes on the eternal prize. In your life and in mine, there are inevitable disappointments that will come if you live for Jesus for any length of time. Sometimes they're of our own making. Others, they're from others. The answer, keep fighting. Keep running. Stay faithful. And keep your eyes on the eternal.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.